Okay, I've got 9:04 a.m. We'll go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence. And for those of you that are participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you would need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. As Sunday was the 84th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, I would ask that we take just a few moments of silence to remember the more than 2,400 sailors and soldiers that perished in that event. Lord, we come before you today, humbled in your sight and asking for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we're so grateful that you watch over, protect us. We are so thankful that you bestow in the hearts of men and women of this world to sacrifice on behalf of others. Lord, we ask that you watch over, guide, and protect this court and place your hand of wisdom on us as we do here on earth what honors you in heaven. We ask that you watch over, guide, and protect our first responders as they give comfort and security to us here on earth as you watch over them. We ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
We pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number five, which is the consent agenda, noting that there are three items there. The court may wish to approve the consent agenda as presented, or you may choose to select any of those or all of those to be discussed and considered individually.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda A, B, and C.
Second.
We've got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham and a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number five? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number six is the road and bridge report. Mr. Latham.
Judge, month of November, we closed out 28 work orders and we have 60 in queue of the 60, 23 permits. Bladed and added base four roads and bladed 21 roads. Cleaned debris off one lower crossing. Didn't have any cut guard repair. Cleaned up four CMPs and reshaped the ditch line. Cleaned ditches at four locations, repaired one driveway entrance, cleared a fallen tree from one location, pushed three fence rows, mowed 40 roads, full width and strip mowed one, patched 14 locations. Installed 22 county road name signs, one speed limit sign, three stop signs. Installed one large drainage structure on County Road 141, repaired two CMPs and replaced two, did a little road edge repair at six locations, stabilized some ditch erosion from five locations, hauled off brush from eight, trimmed trees at nine.
Make a motion to accept the road bridge.
Got a motion to accept the road and bridge report from Commissioner Basham, second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number six? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Good month of work, Mr. Latham. Thank you as always. Item number seven is a discussion and update on transition of IT services. I'm not sure if we've got anyone here from Goldsmith with us online this morning. Not seeing anyone right off the bat. We did have an IT transition meeting last, my days are running together, Friday morning. Real good. I mean, there's some good things that are happening. I believe they've got all the networking mapped for this building, and I'm not using some correct term, incorrect. If I am, please help me out.
Topography.
But they've got mapping done for this building. They've got mapping done, network mapping done for the new annex on Leon Street, and then the next one that they were going to tackle, which is a little bit more challenging, I guess is the right word, was going to be the sheriff's department and the jail. They had made contact with all of our department heads and elected officials, except for juvenile probation, adult probation, and who was the third one? Is it Roden Bridge?
Well, they've contacted them, but they haven't gone out there and done the.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what I'm saying. The actual sit down and talk with them. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Crothers, but I believe they've got a plan to get you transitioned, given you've got some time, a little bit of time to in the March time frame, I think it's when your contract is up. They have ordered some repair parts to have on hand and some other supplies that we're accumulating here. We're going to identify them some specified storage space. I'll talk with the court on a proposal either, well, hopefully the next meeting in December, because I think it will involve kind of some moving some storage items around. But right now, a template or proposed to you that the IT storage for spare parts and all those things would go in the front vault. Not to rain on his parade, but thank you, Commissioner Basham, for getting the vault doors. Both vault doors have been new combinations. They've been serviced, and they're in good repair. So I want to thank you for taking care of that for us. So that does provide us a fireproof secure area, both here as well as the front area, which I think will help facilitate some things in the future. With that, they're continuing progressing. They did not commit to a definitive timeline of when they will fully transition over. But based off of our meeting last week, I would anticipate that first part of January would be a reasonable assumption at this point. Things appear to be going pretty well. I don't know about the rest of you, but I've not heard any complaints from any of our departments at this point. So, Commissioner Weddle, I hope I didn't steal your thunder, but anything that you would like to add to that from that meeting as well?
I think they had a meeting yesterday with E-Force, getting that transition going. They're deep involved in that already. And then I guess they're still waiting for the auditor's office invoices on internet bills. They've kind of discovered that we might have been paying for a lot of internet bills that we're not even utilizing. So over time, I think that's happened when each one of the individual departments had their own. So they're trying to uncover some areas to save us money.
No, good. Thank you.
Okay.
Any questions, comments, concerns under our IT transition at this point?
I have got it. Judge, put out there, I think we should have this probably on next few agendas discussion. This kind of see where it's, because I don't know anything about IT, but I know this process is going to take some time. I think we should have some discussions. Next several meetings it should be on here, in my opinion. So just have some discussion where we're at on it. IT stuff, okay with the court.
So that you've got a level of expectation. I anticipate that this is going to be an agenda item at least through May of next year, because I think as we transition, it's very probable that they will identify maybe some projects that they think we should consider. And so as those come about, we just need to have this as a regular item, and then we'll, May starts pushing us into budget season. Well, IT and what IT looks like for next year, as far as a budget standpoint, will be, incorporated in there as well. So, yes, I really think for about the next 6 months, you're going to see this.
Because I know there was a project that supposed to be doing in jail that they were going to be needing some kind of fan or something in there, and then in that one location.
Yes.
Yeah, they're talking about, and we better go back to the, eventually we're going to go back to the security folks. They were the ones that told us that that was, those little servers were rough service duty, that, being up in the attic was no issues, no problems with them. They're the ones that have to warrant it. So I think we need to get the security folks hooked up with Goldsmith so they can hear that. And then their solution was, which wouldn't be a bad deal anyway. I mean, it'll still lengthen the life of the equipment, would be to put a mini split up there. But I definitely think we need to hook them up with the S3.
I agree. And these are things that are going to, I think, surface throughout this process, is just, having a new set of eyes on things, and so that we can, get the best services that we possibly can at a reasonable cost, so that we're more efficient in our processes and the services we deliver to the citizen.
I'll take the lead on that and get Goldsmith in touch with S3, and so they can talk about that.
But thank you for that, Commissioner Basham. It will be an item on here. And before we remove it, I'll discuss that with the court if you are comfortable with where we are with the overall transition.
That's good.
Anything else we need to cover under item number 7?
Just kind of the IT meeting. Right here. It seems like moving forward, the IT committee will stay together and they'll bring these projects to the committee, and the committee brings it forward. Is that kind of the process?
There'll be a vetting process within that committee, yes.
Meetings, then they'll turn around and give us suggestions for budgeting and be like, that's why they won't look at the internet, the software costs, and
yes,
of that nature, and highlight projects.
Well, and one of the key parts of identifying all of the internet connections is that Goldsmith will be our point of contact for internet services and outages, because obviously the systems that they're running run through the internet, and so they will be aware of what outages happen probably before the rest of us. But it allows them to then be able to know who to contact, and then they will have the authority on behalf of the county to, request repair services as needed, coordinate those repair services for us. And that not being an individual cost to the county, that is part of their overall IT managed services contract. That is all included. So knowing what internet services are being provided to what buildings, and what they're supporting, is part of them just having situational awareness on the overall picture of this. But yes, Mr. Latham, you're exactly correct. It's the intent that at some point we will not be having, every 2 week meetings, or maybe, maybe not even once a month, maybe quarterly meetings. But we'll maintain that core IT group, so that there is some level of vetting of projects, and we get inputs from different perspectives on, really, is that the best value for the county at the time before we bring it to the court? So
I also think, Goldsmith will be coming in here once a month just to get, to the court, just to give us a brief update of the condition of our IT initiatives.
Yes. Okay. Last alibis, one more time on item number 7. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 8, which is update and actions on grants to include but not limited to. We'll start off with the hazard mitigation plan, which is still just under recoupment phase. RCP, at our last meeting, I was going to reach out to, and I did reach out to MRB to set up a workshop, and potentially it was going to be for this afternoon. I did not get a response back from them until Thursday of last week, which was past our deadline to be able to file an agenda. So I would ask all of you to take a look at your calendar for the first week of January, like the 5th through the 8th timeframe. That is not a commissioner's court week, but I think given the holiday schedule coming up and a few other things, that would give them enough time to plan, hopefully gives us enough time to plan. So if you've got a day or two there that there's a preference, if you can let me know that.
Is something that we can finalize now, or do I want some more time to think about it? I'm good with.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you don't have a preference, if everybody's kind of open that week, I like Tuesdays and Wednesdays, you know, kind of.
Sixth or seventh works good for me.
Sixth or seventh works good for me. That would be. Let me know when.
Okay. I will give them those two dates. And I'll work with them to get that set up. Under the CBG MIT, we're still on track. We haven't had an update, or maybe I missed the last updating meeting. But anyway, we're still on track. Right now it's still in the engineering phase. I believe I didn't confirm it, but I believe they've finished up the environmental on all four of those sites. So that paperwork is done, and January is templated to be the 60%. I think January is templated to be 60% engineering complete, and then before they get to the 90%, they'll require confirmation from us that those are the design plans, that we accept them, we're good with that. And then again, June, July timeframe is when those four projects should go out for bid, with construction beginning in the first quarter of FY27. Any questions under CDBG MIT? Okay. Moving on to DR4781. I wish you were here to share the good news. Mr. Latham, do you want to talk on behalf of Desiree under 4781?
I don't know the exact number, but it's roughly around $980,000 been moved over into TEDM. TEDM, I don't know, a couple weeks or week, they'll wire that money to us, so we'll send them some closeout documents.
It is some good news. It is some very good news.
I believe our last number a couple of weeks ago was around 700,000. There's another 200.
There was 230 or so setting at TEDM already, and then there's a 760 or something that's supposed to hit this week with TEDM. That's already, all the boxes are checked with FEMA. They've approved it to fund the TEDM. I don't know if it might already be in there right now, but that's what he was telling me, it'd be there this week.
Well, the last piece of it is they send me a document packet, and I've been pulling those down, a signature to sign off on those. I've been working with Desiree on getting the actual closing dates, but the number he's talking about, that's not, you know, we have to match something with that. That is our reimbursement portion. That is the.
And that's just Cat C.
And that is.
A and B is not in that number, which is yeah. Funded or sent to. See that or not, but that wasn't a large amount. Yes, it was 1,000 flavor AB. Okay. And then we still have another round of package projects that is we're working through with FEMA. You know, any number I'd tell you if you could guess, but I'm speculating $400,000 or $500,000, maybe more, just depending on which routes we go, of uncompleted projects. So,
and they have a level of mitigation that's tied to those. So, there's
some bigger hoops jump through a couple of them.
We got some engineering challenges with a couple of them. The others are, all spec'd out from our standpoint. They just have to have an engineering cost estimate associated with them. And then those will move forward with getting submitted for approval. But it's been a lot of work on Desiree's part. If y'all see her, you should, I encourage you to express your appreciation for all that she's done, because this has been about a 8-hour day job every day for 6 months. How long has she been with us? Eight months. I mean,
started her in July of the disaster after May.
Yeah.
So she was on temp service there for
a year and a half.
Yeah.
Year and a half.
We converted her from temp service to full-time employment sometime February last year, March, somewhere in there. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Colorado is definitely good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And anything else is now gravy.
Yeah. Okay. So any questions, comments under DR 4781? Right, hearing none, I'll move on to E, which is the Leon Cowhouse Flood Project. I have not received any updates from Mr. Manning from his last update a couple weeks ago. And again, I believe they were 8 of 9 of the new sensors in Creole County had been in place at that point. And some new mapping was supposed to be available within about the next 30 days. So we'll look for updates on that, hopefully at our next meeting on December 23rd. So any questions or comments under E? Okay. Any other grants that the court wishes to discuss, or any actions that the court might wish to take under item number 8? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 9, which is to consider resolution for joint primary for the March 3rd, 2026 election. I believe a copy of that resolution went out into your went out with your packets, and that is fact a resolution between the Democratic Party of the Coryell County and the Republican Party of Coryell County, so that they may combine their efforts into one primary rather than separate primaries.
Make a motion that we accept the joint resolution and statistical information for joint primary as submitted by Justin Carruthers.
Okay.
Got a motion to approve the joint resolution from Commissioner Weddle, second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion under item number 9? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 10, to consider 3-year agreement with Public Power Pool P3 and Champion Energy Services LLC for calendar years 2026 through 2028. I believe copies of that proposals went out in your packet. We're currently receiving our power utilities, electrical utilities through P3. We've been with them for a number of years. There were some other quotes that the county received that were competitive but slightly more, and this is the newly procured. I couldn't think of that. I wanted to say this is the newly procured amounts that they have proposed under their procurement process. We are currently under not Champion. We're currently under Shell. So this is, again, within their procurement process, they've selected Champion to be the power provider for the calendar years indicated In consultation with the auditor, it is our recommendation that we enter into a 3-year agreement for electric utility services.
Make a motion to approve the 3-year agreement with P3. Second.
Got a motion to approve the agreement from Commissioner Matthews, a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 10? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 11 on the agenda is to consider agreements with the volunteer fire departments. This morning, I handed out just one copy of the agreement that we templated for all of the departments for last year. The one copy is for Levada under, let me get my, on page 3, I thought it was important to put in a little bit of verbiage there to reinforce the submission of the monthly reports. Currently, we consistently get monthly reports from Coryell City Osage and City of Copper's Cove. Mr. Vaden provides kind of an overall picture of the other departments, but we're currently spending, or we've allocated at least for FY26, $45,000 for software for firefighting reporting. And this is, I believe those reports provide some insight to this court as to where fires are happening and when they're happening and how they're being responded to. So as we make assessments and determinations on things like burn ban, future resource allocations, I think those monthly reports are important. So to reinforce that, the current templated agreement, and it's been in place for years, several years, they're required to have those reports submitted to the court or to the county judge's office no later than the 10th of each month. There's no change to that. The only change was that requiring them to be submitted on the report format on the software that we're currently funding, as well as if failure to submit those reports would penalize that department, those individual departments, that particular month's funds under the agreement. There are also other areas, and that's not, you know, that's not setting a new precedence, because under, if you look under Article 7, when they conduct their audits annually, that failure to comply with certain portions of the audits also result in certain portions of those funds being withheld. And I think that this just provides a new level of, or not provides, it encourages a new level of information flow between us and the departments.
I would rather the verbiage be may than shall. Yeah. You got to look at it too. They're volunteers. I understand the dollar amount. But if something were to happen, something does happen, you know, I would use the word may versus shall on the monthly reporting. It would be my recommendation.
I like that change. Gives us the latitude to under, you know, have them come and explain. There might be an extenuating circumstance.
Okay, I've got no issues making those that change.
Were there any other changes, or is this,
you know, no?
This is pretty much exactly the same. Except
that is
little.
That is the exact same from this department. To include the amount, I didn't even update the amount for this year. So the template that you see is the exact document that the court approved for this particular fire department, as well as the others, but this one. And so before I made that change to all of those, I wanted to get the court's input and guidance so we can get those any changes that the court deems necessary, the new amounts put in, and get those distributed so we can get signatures on those.
And in this process, I think Chief Baden submitted the dollar values for each one of these
that is correct.
Departments, and those have been submitted?
Yes.
Okay.
Matthew has.
All right.
Yeah,
because I understand we're approving all of those, you know, contract numbers.
Yes.
And then once we approve this, I guess then how quickly are these going to be distributed out to the fire departments?
I'm thinking by Thursday.
Okay.
I mean, because really it is
yeah,
a custom paste.
Numbers in each one,
it's a custom cut and paste on those two lines. Changing where it says 2025 to 2026 in some various places, and then plugging in and verifying the appropriate amounts on each one of those. So as quick as we can do that, we will package those. There was no change proposed to Copper's Coves. Because they are a paid fire department.
Yeah.
And their wording overall is just a little bit different. And we would have the ability, we can address that with the city of Copper's Cove if we were having any reporting issues. But I've not seen that to this point.
I make a motion to approve the 2026 firefighters agreement with the correction of that language from shall to may.
Second.
And the correct numbers included into the contract.
Second.
Okay. We've got a motion to approve an updated version, changing as presented, changing shall to may for the firefighter agreement. That's from Commissioner Matthews, and a second from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 11?
Have you had a chance to look at this?
Bill,
oh, sure. I kind of know what he's thinking for, though. I didn't exactly understand what Mr. Matthews' change was.
Well, May is in the legal form a lawyer, but it's
gives him leeway.
It gives him a little leeway. We're asking for it versus, you know.
So, yeah, I'm okay. Right.
If the court, so be it, saw something that they believed that needed to be withdrawn because one department was habitual and not reporting, then that would be
okay. I have the spreadsheet I usually send you.
Yeah.
So, and I will tell you, one of the reasons I quit sending, you know, under emergency reporting, I just sent all of your reports. Well, under this new system, I brought you a sample here. I only have one, but you're more than welcome to look at it. This is for, like, I think 30 or 40 runs that we had in the county, and it's 4 or 5 pages long. This is the spreadsheet. I just got to put it.
And it's yeah,
just,
this is
just kind of shows you. You want to do something?
You're going to make an airplane out of it.
The spreadsheet is what I used to keep up with. I don't know if I gave you one, Judge. Thank you. This is what I used to tally up. At the end of the year, when we start applying the formula for their pay. But everybody can send you the one I have that's got blue on it. They don't all use the same report that I knew. This new system is, I say, it's not user-friendly for somebody like me, but I have about figured it out. However, I have 21 more days.
Figure it out that yourself.
I think everybody's got some part of the report is figured out. So they may not all look alike, but they'll all have. I think that's basically got the information on what you want, Judge.
It does, and it's a very detailed, very specific about where fire runs are, timing of them, gives a description of whether it's rubbish vegetation or brush vegetation, car structure.
The new, so what happened in the United States? Somebody decided, we used to be under NIFRS, National Fire Incident Reporting System. They went to what they call NIRS, and I'm not familiar what NIRS stands for, but I forgot, so he say it correctly. And it's been a big change, and should sort. So I used to put a report in, and no matter how complicated it was, I wouldn't spend 5 minutes putting it in because it's a point, click, point, click, and that's all there is to it. Under this right here, you know, it's 15, 20 minutes to put a fire report. And so it's important that you stay up on. If you don't, you get so far behind, and, you know, it takes you all day or 2 days to catch up. I do mine every morning, so we don't get behind. Copper's Cove has a person assigned specifically just to put in reports all day long. And they're struggling with the reporting system just like we are, because we talk back and forth quite a bit. And we have some people that works for First New Company. We have an old boy, he's in Ohio. He is really, really good at reporting, and he has helped us tremendously to get us to where we are right now. And it's always a learning curve. It's something new. And but it's a good reporting system. It just takes a little while for learning from the whole system. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sir.
Okay, we had a motion and a second. Ms. Newton, did we take a vote on that? Okay, any further discussion on item number 11? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries.
Judge, when you get them ready, you let me know, I'll pick them up and either get them to come up here or I'll take them all around, get them signed, get them right back to you.
If we don't have them done this afternoon, we'll have them done at least tomorrow. I mean,
no.
You know. And so we'll, because we've got all the information. Like I said, it won't take us much time. Okay. All right. Well, I hope she's doing all right. I hope it's not anything major.
Appreciate it. No. Just, it's her teeth. She's having had surgery on. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Item number 12 is discussion and consideration on the county building use for Coryell County GOP. I believe Commissioner Weddle had asked to have this on the agenda.
Yes, sir. I received a request and a phone call from our guest today, Mr. Norm Mitchell. He is the Coryell County GOP chair. They hold a monthly executive meeting, and they've been looking for a place here in Gatesville because they like to have one in Copper's Cove 1 month, and then they come to Gatesville because we have precinct. There's precinct chairs that come from all over the county, so in equity. So I said I would put it on the agenda and put it up for the course discussion. You know, historically, we certainly allowed different groups to utilize this facility. It is the people's building. So I think at the end of the day, we need to remind that. So if you guys would indulge, I just asked Mr. Mitchell to stand up and kind of make his request to us.
Thanks, Scott. Good morning, guys. Thank you. All y'all know me. Like Scott said, I am the chairman of the Coryell County GOP, and I've been in this position this month will be a year. It kind of just fell on me. I didn't run or walk. I guess I kind of volunteered after being big. But I'm trying to do the best I can. I've learned a lot of things in the last 12 months. My goodness, I've met everybody now pretty much that holds an office of any kind in the county. And one of the big things I learned real fast is I have heard this, but I really hadn't experienced it until I got the position, was the divide at Cowhouse Creek between North Coryell County and South Coryell County. And I really didn't understand why or how that came about. And so one of my big things that I'm attempting to do is erase that line. You know, we're all one team, we're all one county, we're all one family, in my opinion. And so one of the first things I did was decide to have meetings not just in Gatesville, but in Coryell or in Copper's Cove as well. So like Scott alluded to, we're meeting every month during election years, like right now, and then in between it'll be every other month, maybe even every quarter. But basically, we'll have one meeting in Copper's Cove. We have a great location in Copper's Cove already that's a host for us. But we've bounced around in Gatesville three or four or five different locations. So we're looking for a permanent home that when we do have a meeting here in Gatesville, it's the same place every time. And again, it won't be every month. At the most, it would be every other month. But we would come here for an hour to hour and a half on a Tuesday evening. So that's what the request is. I appreciate y'all's consideration for it. If you have any questions for me, I'll be happy to answer them.
No question.
And the meeting start time would be
6 p.m.
and in time approximately 7 p.m.
7:30.
I'd make a motion to approve that.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Request.
Second.
There's a motion to approve the request for the GOP to use the county facilities in a second. I would contend that is not statutory compliant. For any political subdivision to have access to our facilities, the first thing that the county has to do is have a facilities use policy. Most notably, this was outlined in Tarrant County in 2024 when they were challenged on the same issue. Again, this identifies one political party as opposed to all political parties. And then again, for those political parties to utilize county facilities, they would both then have to agree to that county facilities use policy. So I believe
what
we're...
What statute are you referring to, Judge?
I'm referring to the Texas Ethics Advisory Opinion 550, as well as our own current handbook. And I say current, the one that was adopted by this court in 2022, which says use of any equipment, property, or material owned by the county for political activity or engagement in political activity while on duty for the county is prohibited.
Yeah, that's why on duty.
Yeah.
And I think that the one in Tarrant County was, when I did a little research on it, there was an ethics violation because they refused to allow another to use it. I still stick with my motion that, and like I said, if the Democrats don't use it or socialists, you know, I guess communist, Brendan, go ahead.
Okay, I appreciate that. Given that I do believe that it violates state statutes as far as ethics, as well as use of public facilities without a pre-existing policy. It's the determination that that is not a valid motion. The court has at its disposal the determination that I am incorrect, and you have procedures of redress with the state if you feel that I am incorrect.
I'll give you a spot to use until then, and we'll get it redressed.
Okay, I'll just say this. According to the county attorney, there's no issue with it, and multiple counties surrounding us, all commissioners' courts are being used by both parties, multiple counties. So it's not a new thing. And our county attorney has blessed off on it and said it's just fine. Just FYI. He's not here today, but he would tell you that in person.
You are correct, Mr. Mitchell. He is not here today. He has not expressed that to me. I've had conversations with him concerning this very same issue when a meeting was conducted in this building by yourself and other employees of Coryell County on July 22nd, I believe it was. And he has not given me any reason to believe that my assessment at that time was incorrect. And it's what I've expressed to the court today. And I do want to be clear, I am not opposed to us having a facility policy. I'm opposed to us picking and choosing, you know, how our facilities are used individually as opposed to adopting a policy, having it agreed upon by both significant political parties, but then it also addresses the ability of other individual groups access to our facilities as well. And I think it's doable.
We've had a president. We've had other groups who have utilized this specific space. In fact, during working hours, they'll utilize this space for meetings. One, a private industry, another, a 501c3. So I start to working on a facility use policy.
So at this time, would be beneficial for this to be tabled, to be presented to our next commissioner's meeting?
I'm okay with a action to table. I mean, I just don't think the way that the it's listed on the agenda is an actionable item that is legally sufficient. So you can take no action. You can action to table it.
I think something we definitely need to address. Make motion to table. Is it on?
There is a motion to table item number 12.
Point of order. We still need to resolve the motion that's on the floor.
That is correct.
Y'all aren't advertising, are you?
Say again?
Y'all aren't advertising, are you?
No, sir.
Using it for means of advertising?
No. And again, we're obviously we're completely okay with any other party doing the same thing. I mean, that goes without being said. We're just looking for a nice home here in Gatesville so we can have the people in Gatesville don't have to drive to Cove and have, you know, trying to be fair.
You did say 550, right? I think Commission's opinion number 560?
550 is one of them.
Oh,
yes.
Well, what's the other case?
Well, there's a whole host of them in the 550s, Commissioner.
Okay, well.
I mean, 552 is another one that comes to mind.
Judge, I'm just asking. I mean, you quoted the statute, and that's the ethics advisory opinion.
That is an opinion,
and
yes.
It's about political advertising.
That is correct.
I look up 552.
So it's actually not a statute, it's an opinion?
It's not.
That is an opinion.
Okay. Yeah. So you referenced statute. Is there any statute? I mean, one that spells it out in the statute?
There are.
I looked. I could not find any, but I am not a lawyer.
Nor am I.
Right.
But there are statutes under the elections code as well as the ethics code that address the utilization of our facilities.
Commissioner Matthews, maybe I could suggest that if you amended yours to say dependent on opinion of the county attorney, and if the county attorney rules, you know, that it's the motion is sufficient, then
I'm fine with that. I don't. Nope.
I don't know if we need it, but.
Yeah, 550 is a ring paid by a sponsor of a candidate. I revise my motion and approve the consideration or approve the request for the GOP to use the commissioner's court after an opinion from the county attorney.
Second.
I do not believe that that is legally sufficient. You are singling out one individual group.
That's the only one that has requested it right now. If someone else comes along, I have no problem with that. But I don't know that they have. We're not excluding anyone. I've already said that.
Excuse me. If somebody else comes to the court and requests the same thing, then it would be up to the court to determine that.
But everything that I find has nothing to do with allowing someone to use public space. Unless they're renting it or advertising for that party. And if they're asking to use it, they're not renting it. And it's a meeting, not a form of advertising.
By the action presented, it does in fact exclude every other group other than this one.
No, it does not.
Because the action is just for one group.
It does not exclude it.
Commissioner,
they ask for use of it. It doesn't, nowhere in the motion, nowhere in the request, does it say the hillbillies can't use it or the, it doesn't say that. That is incorrect. That is your opinion of exclusion.
You can say that's my opinion. It reads right there that it's specifically saying one group, and it does not address all of our facilities as to being open to all groups that are available out there.
Well, I will put something on the next agenda for all groups, but right now we've only had one request. And you know, if Widgets or Wiggets or whatever they're called want to meet in here, they pay taxes too. As long as they don't cut any goat's heads off of them.
And it's still responsible for that group to
correct
facilitate opening and closing safely of these buildings. I mean,
that's what a policy right. would establish.
And if they can't find a sponsor, then yes, that.
That's what a policy would establish. To include the authorization to collect fees from groups, which is the purview of this court to be able to do that.
We have a motion and a second. I call the question.
And it's the determination that the motion is inconsistent with state statutes.
And I ask again, what statute are you referring to?
The statutes that cover the use of public facilities.
And what is that?
You're the one Googling, Commissioner.
I'm not, but you're talking about a statute that you said it violates.
Yeah.
So yes. If it violates the statute, what statute would that be, Judge?
The ones under the Secretary of State, under elections as well as the ethics.
I'm asking for the statute. If you're quoting a statute.
I didn't quote it.
Yes, you did.
You said
it is a violation
yes.
of the statute.
Yes.
Therefore, you would be quoting the statute.
I didn't quote the statute.
Not verbatim, but you're saying it violates the statute. So that's why I'm asking. You apparently looked it up. So if it is, what is the statute that you looked up? Because there's a bunch of statutes in the state of Texas.
There are.
Also a bunch of opinions.
And there are those as well.
All right, so as long as we're following Robert's rules, we've had a motion, we've had a second, we've had a call to question, which applies only to the motion on the floor. It's not debatable, and it requires two-thirds of a vote in order to move to the actual motion vote. So I've called the question, and I make a motion that we have a vote whether to move forward.
There. Questions have been called. All those in favor for moving forward, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. So with that, the motion that is on the floor then to consider is the approval for just the GOP
negative
to be able to. Yes, that is what
the motion is.
It says discussion and consideration on county building use for the Corio County GOP.
Correct. Doesn't say judge.
GOP.
Yeah. Doesn't say judge.
So with that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. We'll have a good time with this one. Ms. Newton, if you will note for the record, and I'll provide you the email correspondence as well as a copy of the calendar, the July 22nd meeting that was held in this office was between at the request of Kristen Weddle, wife of Commissioner Weddle. And in attendance at that meeting was Ms. Weddle, Mr. Mitchell, and Commissioner Weddle was in the building at that time. Moving on to item number 13, which is to consider voiding check number 65440 in the amount of $1,136.90 issued on November 12th, 2025. That check was a reimbursement check that the court had previously authorized, but after some discussion in our last meeting, it was determined that there were some items that the county attorney was going to review for validity of being reimbursed. And with the current bills, the portion that was not contested in that is being paid as well. Is that correct, Mr. Wood?
Not entirely. It's been approved, but we have not issued that check. We're kind of waiting on this motion here. That payment out. Reissue on
the the issue of the upcoming bills is contingent upon rescinding this particular check.
I'd make a motion to avoid check $36.90.
Second.
We've got a motion to void the check as listed in the amount and the dates as described by Commissioner Matthews. Second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 14 is to pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $867,506.67. Got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 14? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 15, reports, Commissioner Matthews.
Yeah, I wanted to reiterate the 84th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. It's a fabulous memorial if you ever get to go there. We've got a tech coming in to replace piece of equipment in the county court at law. Audio video system today. And then he's also going to look at that 440th speaker system, adding something to that. And then he'll be giving us a quote on that one. And then January 12th through the 17th is youth fair coming up. That's it.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Weddle.
Good, Commissioner Matthews. That was the audio was the same thing. Who's the company?
Love Tech. They were the ones that redid the
Love
L-O-V-E Technology. They were the ones that did the county court at law.
Yeah.
Back November ish 2024.
One of the other things that we also have on our radar is if at the same time whoever does that, and I'll get with you and we'll maybe talk to the original installers over there of being able to, when you have a big bore dyer and that place is full, they could put people in the JP's courtroom, and if the audio and video transferred over from the main area where the judge could communicate, that's one of those things that we kind of went, that would be nice.
I was in there Monday.
Yeah.
And then 161.
Right.
I'm number one.
Fortunately.
But no, it was the one sitting in the back of the courtroom. I mean, they told you every time somebody started speaking, hey, you need to stand up to speak. But half people are not going to do that.
Right.
And some of them were like whispering. I was sitting on the front row and I couldn't hear them.
Yeah.
So I know the court reporter and all them couldn't hear them. They were further than I was.
That's all I have, Judge.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Basham.
Let's pray for some rain and the project on the air handlers in the jail. We're finishing up the last two air handlers that should be done into the week. We've already had a couple of walkthroughs and projects coming along good. There was going to be some savings on the project as well. So excited about that.
Awesome.
But I'll have to finish. Thank you. Oh, yes. Right now on the broilers. Thanks, Judge. We are at about 11,000 on the broilers. There's some more things that we need to work on. So roughly, you guys, what they're telling me is anywhere from 12 and 15 to complete them. Because what we want to do is to be, if one of the broilers go down, to be within the division regulation that the other one will kick on. And I have some questions, and he's going to be sending some more quotes and stuff with that. I will get those out to y'all so y'all can see. But Project 11 is working good. No problems.
Awesome.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yes, sir.
Anything else?
No, sir.
Commissioner Taylor?
I had the pleasure of sitting on the jury panel, or actually to be selected. Luckily, I didn't, but it's I'm there all day. It's a real nice facility. And I do think that the audio would help in the back, and then like you said, being able to put all the people in the
overflow
AP if they weren't doing something.
Right.
It would clean up the lobby out a lot. So that would be good. But other than that, that's all I got.
Okay.
And if I could just amend mine too, I don't know if you got, I mean, I think everybody knows there was a tragic event down there on that day in the jury pool. And man, what a, come down to do your civic duty and
don't go home.
Yeah. That was just, yeah, horrible.
Thank you. I've got nothing of significance to report. We do have an executive session, closed meeting scheduled. And by the mere fact that we don't have the presence of the county attorney at this time, we are prohibited from being able to engage in item number 17, which would be to consult with the county attorney. And that item then also directly relates to item number 19, which we would not be able to follow up with. So pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.072, the Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to deliberate the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property. Subsequent to that closed meeting, we'll reconvene an open meeting and picking up with item number 20, potentially consider actions to sell real property. So with that, I have 10 a.m. We will recess and reconvene in the closed meeting in the front conference room at 10:20 to give you a couple minutes. So we are in recess. Thank you.